Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Wandering One podcast, brought to you by Wandering One Studios and yours truly, your host, Link Flores. I hope you guys are having a great day wherever you are, whenever you hear this. Thank you very much for tuning in to another episode of the podcast. I appreciate you guys a lot. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Without you guys, this obviously doesn't work. So I just wanted to say that I'm super grateful as always. If you get a chance and you like to hear more bonus content, I've been kind of stagnant on what I want to do with Patreon, but I think I may have hit on something. I will need your input though. Please go to patreon.com/wanderingonestudios and just sign up for free to follow. It's free 99 to follow. If you want to support the podcast for just $3 a month, you can actually help support the podcast by providing income so I can replace mics, work on purchasing business cards so I can spread the word of the podcast. And eventually, one of the things I really hope to do is to maybe include a video portion or a video podcast itself. So those $3 will go towards helping make that happen. I recently purchased new business cards. Those will go on to a Patreon post in the future when they arrive. So keep your eyes peeled for that. I'm also going to be starting to post some more stuff, like maybe weekly updates to Patreon at the very least. So at least you have an idea of what's going on, what I'm doing. And that'll give some value to the Patreon as well. One of the things I was planning on was a thing called Roll the Dice for Advice. And what the basic premise is would be, you ask a question and then I will roll a D20 die, or 20-sided dice for those of you who aren't nerds and gamers. Roll a 20-sided die, and depending on where it lands, depends on the quality of advice you get. You can go from all the way from terrible advice to the best possible advice I can think of based on the dice rolls. So I thought that might be a cool way to introduce that concept to the podcast for the Patreon exclusives, and also potentially having a guest on to answer those questions as well, so you're not just getting my perspective. So might be looking at doing those. And the reason I want to do those with a guest, and they'll be switching to maybe a once a month or bi-monthly kind of format for that kind of thing, it's just for the scheduling and to make sure that I get enough questions in between episodes so that I have enough to talk about with whenever we have the guest on. So, looking forward to that. Let's get into it. You guys have probably heard or seen on the televisions that the NFL is back. The preseason is now over and we are going into the regular season of football. You guys might remember last season I did a thing called Gridiron Gripes. Need a sip of my Rise coffee. Not a sponsor yet, but love it. I did a thing called Gridiron Gripes where every week I would talk about the various games that I saw happening around the NFL, particularly focused on my two favorite teams, the Chicago Bears and the Jacksonville Jaguars. But I was also tailing along with the Pittsburgh Steelers, because, my wife and the kids, they're fans and stuff like that. So I was like, we might as well check up on them, see how they're doing. There are a few games, because week one of the NFL starting, well, when you hear this, it'll be Wednesday afternoon. So it's starting this week. Today is September 4th. And I'm looking around the NFL to see who all is playing. The Steelers are playing the Falcons on Sunday, the 8th at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard. I believe the Jaguars are also playing the same time too, so I probably won't see that game because it's Jaguars and Dolphins on the 8th at 1 p.m. And I think that's it for week one as far as the teams I would normally be following. Nope, incorrect. The Tennessee Titans are playing Chicago on the same day. So three games were happening that day. And at least one I'll be able to see, one I'll hopefully be able to record. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that and seeing where everybody lands, because, football is one of my favorite things. And I love just checking out all the stats and whatnot and seeing how everything shakes out for them week to week. I think the Bears actually come out of the preseason as 3-0. So winning every game they've had this preseason, which is great. And we just want them to translate that into actually they're 4-0. in the preseason. So I want to translate that into wins for the rest of the regular season, because that's the reason why we watch. That's what we come here for. And you know, it's just football is just one of those things that, like, it's always brought, like, the friends and family together. And I think that that's really an impressive thing to have, you know, a common shared interest. So hopefully you guys will share that with me and enjoy me for those gridiron gripes. But if you guys really hate them that much, make sure you write in and let me know at patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. Again, comments, questions, suggestions, looking for advice, looking for recipes, looking for, I don't know, just somebody to talk to. Feel free to write me there. I'd love to hear from you. So yeah, I'm checking up on the other preseason stuff. The Jaguars are also 3-0 for the preseason. So congratulations to the Jacksonville Jaguars going into the regular season. That's Chicago at 4-0, Jacksonville at 3-0. And that's a pretty impressive for the start. You know what I mean? Like, the preseason can, you know, they're like, it doesn't count. Yeah, it does, but it doesn't. You know what I mean? And the sadly enough, the Pittsburgh Steelers are 0-3 for their preseason. So who knows? I mean, they might even turn out to be the world beaters this season. We'll find out soon. Any hoodles, hope you guys are having a great day. Like I said before, just going to putter around. Like I said, this is just wandering through my brain. Just random stuff I saw on the internet the other day. And of course, you know, like a lot of us get our news from the internet. I mean, I've scoured some news services, you know, CNN, Fox News, Al Jazeera, BBC, Reuters, things like that. There's another news service out there. I think it's called Ground News, that does like an aggregation of various sites and also, you know, gives you a little bit of an idea of what their political or ideological stances are as a news outlet. But just this kind of hit a lot of things. Chase Bank has been having this issue lately with people doing TikTok challenges or whatever, and it's called the infinite money glitch. I'll give you a second to Google that if you want to, so you can be as dumbfounded as I am. Are you done yet? All right, great. Essentially, what people were doing was they were taking checks, their own personal checks, by the way, and they were filling them out for exorbitant amounts of money and then taking them to the ATM to get them cash at Chase Bank ATMs. I don't know if it was just some kind of snafu in their verification process for checks and whatnot, and that's possible, but this is basically check fraud. It's no different than when, you know, you go to a store with your ATM, with your debit card, and you ring up a purchase that you don't have the money for, and it goes through, and you're like, oh, wow, I got away with that? Yeah, it's essentially that, but because they're just taking the money and just running off and spending it, it's fraud. And this is also a failure of education. Like, we haven't really taught our young people how finances work. We haven't held them to a certain standard of how to conduct themselves when it comes to dealing with money or just even the basic institutions of life, you know, like getting a driver's license, registering to vote, basic household maintenance, sometimes basic physical maintenance, which we will get into later. But it's just, it's really depressing to actually watch this thing and these people are freaking out like they won the lottery. And it's like, yeah, you're going to prison, dude. You literally tried to defraud one of the biggest banks on the planet for thousands and thousands of dollars. And then here's the other stupid part. You put it on social media for everyone to see. That's what really boggles my mind. It's like you wanted the clout so bad that you're willing to risk prison to get it. It's a big ball of stupid that I've never quite understood. I think that may have been a part of the maybe it's just my generation kind of thing, but when I was younger, one of the things we didn't do was record every stupid thing that we ever did. You know what I mean? Like, people knew you did dumb shit, but that was usually because they were there with you doing the dumb shit. Like, you just didn't put it out on the internet for everyone to see till around, like, you know, the time YouTube came alive and Jackass became a thing. Then it was like everybody was already doing that kind of stuff. We were already doing wild shit and recording it on VHS, but it was just us and our friends watching it. We weren't posting it to the internet for everyone to witness. And especially if you do something highly illegal like committing check fraud at your own bank. I don't know how dumb you have to be, but I'm assuming pretty damn dumb to think that you were getting away with that one. But like I said, it's a failure of just education, I think, and, you know, possibly parenting. Who knows? There can't be one singular factor that goes into how, why people do that kind of ignorant shit. But I will say that, like, one of the things we have to remember to do is to, like, talk to our kids, remind them of, like, the basic things. It never hurts to remind anybody of the basic things, you know, general basic tenets that everyone can be agreed upon, like our linchpins of our society, you know. Just kind of like, you know, little people look at, you know, oh, the Bible is this, that, and the other. Yeah, I know a lot of you have a problem with religion. But the truth is, if you just take out the extra religious, you know, dogmatic stuff and just read it as a book of good ways to be a good person, particularly the Proverbs section of the Bible, there's some good shit in there that you can just, everybody can kind of basically agree on. Don't kill, don't steal, don't rape, you know what I mean? Just some of those basic tenets are just core values that human beings should have. And I think if we start to espouse those a little bit more to one another, it'll just kind of trickle on down. And especially if we reiterate some of the more basic things. One of the things that's hit me lately, and I don't know if it's you guys, but I've noticed it happening a lot, is just maybe it's the convention season too. I haven't really been to any conventions, but I've been around convention goers and whatnot over the years, and especially over the last couple of weeks with Dragon Con finally just wrapping up in Atlanta this past week. Just dirty ass people. Like, why are people just so comfortable with being filthy? I don't even mean just in your personal hygiene habits. I mean just being dirty people. You know? Like, I think I mentioned this a while back. I was hanging out with somebody that I'd known for a while and just chilling. And then I looked over and watched this person just dig in their nose and eat it. And I'm like, oh, hell no. I know you didn't just do that. I'm sitting less than 5 feet from you. I seen you do that and did it multiple times. I'm like, you know, I think this is the end of the hangout. I don't think we do this anymore. You know, just filthy habits. You know what I mean? Like people who wear like slides, like slip-on shoes, or, you know, and they don't wear socks. People wear socks without shoes, like who wear shoes without socks in general, that's a nasty thing to me. Because your feet sweat, dirt goes in there. You know what I mean? There's also the bacteria and whatever that lives on your feet. That's just a breeding ground for fungus and athlete's foot, plus the fucking smell. Oh my God. Listen to me. If you're out there and you hear the sound of my voice, you should change your shoes. Literally change them out. Get brand new shoes. Whenever possible, at least every 12 to 18 months. The longest you should wear any one pair of shoes that is not like a consistently worn pair of shoes, like your daily walkers, should be about 12 to 18 months max. If you can change your shoes out every 2 years, at the very bare minimum, you need to do that. And also, if you start to notice a little bit of a fungus among us, your feet itch or whatever, you start catching a little athlete's foot, there's a simple, easy fix. Now, it won't cure the smell, because you definitely have to wash those insoles, maybe even wash the shoes themselves at least once or twice during the lifetime of owning them. Real easy fix, though. Take them, wrap them in a couple of plastic bags, and put them in your freezer for about 24 to 48 hours. Wear a different pair of shoes, go barefoot if you have to, flip-flops, whatever. Excuse me, couldn't catch that. But put those shoes in the freezer. The freezer is going to kill the bacteria in the shoes. It'll kill the fungus in the shoes. And then what you can do is, once you've had a chance to let them freeze up, take them out, let them like kind of air out at room temperature, then set them in direct sunlight for at least an hour or so, making sure that you get as much sunlight inside the shoes as possible. It's a cheap and easy way to actually make sure that your feet don't stink, you don't get athlete's foot, and you can also spread it very easily through like shower mats and floor mats in your bathrooms and stuff like that. So make sure you do that with your shoes, and then wash your bath mats placemats on the the little bath, like toilet tub mats or whatever. Toilet and tub mats need to get washed at least once a week, minimum. Because, you know, all kind of shit happens in there. You know what I mean? There's like butt crumbs from wiping your butt, you know, drops and detritus and splash over and whatever that comes off when you go to the restroom or come out of the shower. The more you start to think about it, the more you'd be like, what the fuck, man? It'd make you not want to take your shoes off at somebody else's house. I don't. Like, I've seen people's houses and I've been looking like, I'm not taking my fucking shoes off here. They're like, kick your shoes off. I'm like, I don't even want to sit down. So, no. But yeah, and remember this, like, there's a line from, I think it was called, oh my God, I forget the name of the movie. It was The Wishmaker or something. Anyway, it's an old black and white film, I think, with about the story of Helen Keller. And the lady who is her governess and her teacher, like teaching her sign language and stuff, was like, you know, we believe that cleanliness is next to godliness. And the lady was like, cleanliness is next to nothing. Like, seriously, you got to wash your ass. And especially through the summer months, man, especially through the summer months, it gets so fucking hot and everything is cooking on you and baking in. No, you need to wash your ass every day. Shower every day. Use soap and water on your body in conjunction with a loofah or a washcloth or a scrub brush, something. Don't just put soap on your hands and then rub it on your body. That's not going to get the oil and the dirt and the dead skin. It's not going to exfoliate. It's not going to clean that shit off. You need something to scrub with. Your fingernails don't count because you can't reach everywhere with them. Get a scrub brush, get a loofah, get a washcloth or two. Get a wash towel. If you need like a 1 foot long towel to do that, but wash your ass, put on deodorant, brush your teeth twice a day, wash your hair, comb your hair if you got hair. If you don't, and also put lotion on your ass. Lotion will help keep your skin moist, especially in the more dry and acrid, arid climates and stuff like that. Florida's pretty humid, so you're constantly going to be, your oil glands are going to be working overtime, so you definitely want to make sure you shower regularly, but you might not need as much lotion in certain places. But like if you live in a desert climate, something that's really dry and airy, like Arizona, Nevada, put some lotion on them ankles and them elbows, man. Put it all over your body. You know, just basic general hygiene. Because there's a few things all right, I put up with a lot of bullshit from a lot of people. The one thing I really can't deal with is like poor personal hygiene. Bad breath and body odor bother me a lot. They really do. And I've almost lost friends over this shit because I have to look at them and tell them, I can't talk to you because your breath is actually, it feels like I need to file a police report. Like, how are you so hot that you don't notice it when it's right under your nose? I notice my own body odor if I haven't showered for like, if I start the day and I don't get a shower by noon, it's a wrap on the rest of the day because it's not a good day. I had to start my day off with a nice hot shower. Plus, it's great for getting your energy up, getting your mind fresh. You can get those eyes open, wash the crust out your face. My mom used to say that too. It's like, if you're not going to take a shower, you at least need to wash your face and wash your pits and stuff like that. So, you know, you at least you start with like something kind of fresh on you. You know, cleanliness is next to nothing, man. Wash that ass. And especially, I know we're coming out of the summer months. Don't forget to do this shit all year round, because in winter and fall, people can still smell you. What's weird is because it can be even worse, because you think, yo, I'll throw on a sweater or something like that, or I'm in a jacket or a coat. Nobody's going to know. We'll know. We'll know. All you've done is just turn your body, you turn your clothes into a little oven to cook even more of your funk on yourself. Wash your ass. Wash your clothes. If your dryer is funky and stuff like that, hang your shit up. If your washing machine is funky, run some bleach and run some bleach through that shit. Or run some baking soda and vinegar through that in hot water. You know what I mean? Get a separate scrub brush like you get for your toilet and scrub the inside of the drum. They also make washing machine cleaners, solutions and tablets and shit that you can put in there to help take all that gunk and stuff out of your washing machine. Do that. I know not everybody can afford to replace everything all the time, but make an effort, motherfucker. Like, we all got to be around you. That shit is gross. I don't know. Like, that really bugs me because it feels disrespectful. Like, people not washing their ass to come and be around you feels like they disrespect, they don't respect your space enough to at least be presentable to be around you. How you live your life on your own, you know, that's your business, I guess. That's fine. But don't bring your funk over here. You know, I work hard to try to keep the house clean. I definitely make sure I maintain my own my own personal hygiene. Even if I'm not the most physically fit dude in the world, at least I try to make sure I wash all the flab and fat. You know what I mean? So if you're going to come around and stank around me, it just feels offensive to me. It feels like you don't respect me, my time, or my house. And that doesn't sit well with me at all. I really don't like that. It bugs me a lot. Like, a lot, a lot. It's like when people use your shit, but they don't, like, they're eating something beforehand and they just pick up your stuff. Like, if you ever have friends over and they're eating pizza or wings or whatever, and they just decide to grab your remote control or touch something in your house, you're like, ugh, what are you doing, dog? Like, what the fuck? Don't do that. This is not your house. It's not your stuff. Ugh. I don't know. It's a thing that I've noticed lately. I've noticed it a lot. Oh, man, my whole life, actually. But I've noticed it a lot lately, and it bothers me. It makes me fucking itch. It makes me want to fight, actually. It really makes me want to fight people when I see that shit. It's not cool. Ugh, goodness. All right. I've been on that for a hot minute. Let's switch gears a little bit. One of the things I want to talk about was I would get some of the politics stuff out of the way. It's really funny to watch Trump and Vance flounder around trying to gain footing. It's also pretty cool, even though I don't necessarily have to agree with all of Kamala Harris's ideology or political stances and leanings, or Tim Walz. I may not agree with everything that they agree to want to do for the country or to the country or whatever. But I find them to be at least far less morally reprehensible than the Republican counterparts on the other side. You know what I mean? There's something just so gross and weird about them. And I think one of the funniest things lately has been watching, like, Trump kind of, like, straddle the line between doing what his cronies and his, you know, sycophants have been pushing him for with this whole Project 2025 bullshit and every other advance that they've tried to make as far as, like, overturning Roe v. Wade, returning the right to decide whether abortion is legal to the states, and then watching every state, like, south of the Mason-Dixon try to make, like, the most draconian anti-abortion laws ever, to the point where people have, like, fled the states that they live in to actually move to other states where that kind of care is legal. One lady nearly died, I think it was from Texas. There's a story I heard about, like, a couple years ago or something, or, like, was it last year? I think it was last year. There's been more stories like this, and there will be more to come. But she found out that her baby had this chromosomal defect that was essentially going to doom the baby and could cause it to be stillborn, which means the baby would have died inside of her body. And because of all the complications that could happen with this particular pregnancy, she went to the state of Texas and was like, I need to file for this exemption because this could kill me, and it means my baby would already be born basically dead. And the courts granted her the exception. They're like, all right, you can do it. You know, you can have this abortion. And it's got to be a rough thing for a mother to have to deal with, no matter what the case. You know what I mean? And especially if you're excited about having a baby and you find out this horrible news. You know, she's already going through enough. Like, why are you making this harder? Well, it turns out that the attorney general of the state had other plans and was like, nah, fuck that. You can't do it. I was basically telling her she was going to have this baby that was either going to be severely deformed or severely handicapped or possibly just be born dead, and she didn't risk having to die to carry this thing all the way to term. So yeah, like, watching Trump look at those kind of stories and be like, that's not going to work because, you know, it's like, it's fine if we just think about this as not being an us problem. And by us, I mean white folks. It's like, when you watch these young white women having to worry about dying, you know, you got these pretty white girls on TV crying their eyes out because of their horror stories over abortion. Yeah, it sits a little wrong with that super conservative MAGA Republican, you know, they're not one of us, you ain't from around here, boy, types. You know, it doesn't sit well with them. They go, you gonna let our girls die? Well, I mean, you guys wanted this law, didn't you? But yeah, not for us, for them. I know it sounds like I'm just making fun of ignorant people by using a Southern accent. I just happen to live in the South, and a lot of dumbass people sound like that here. So sue me. I'm not going to get shit, but anyway. So it's just funny watching him bounce back and forth and knowing that his political aides are telling him, like, half of them are probably telling him, like, yo, this abortion issue is literal, it's like literal radioactive material. Don't touch this. Don't say anything about it. Stay away from it. You know what I mean? If you can avoid talking about it at all, don't do it. And other people are like, we absolutely need to push home the right to life agenda and everything like that. So you have to make sure that you're on top of it. You have the loudest voice. And I know he's probably torn between these two packs of idiots, but that's what you get. That's what you get for hiring on these people to come and bootlick for you. Now you got to fucking appease all of them. And since you got them from all different portions of your side of the political spectrum, you've got some work to do. Sucks to be you, Donnie boy. And J.D. Vance has continued to be a Looney Tune. I could take a whole podcast probably and talk about J.D. Vance and why he was the most unlikely and unrealistic candidate for vice president on the Republican ticket. But we've already heard the statements he's made about Trump, saying that he believed Trump was America's Hitler and that he was a danger to democracy. Multiple people have come out and said that, and we've already known that. But it's just funny to watch him continue to be a fuck up and Donnie boy continuing to throw him under the bus. It gives me, I can't lie, it gives me a small amount of joy to watch them basically at each other's throats without actually saying so. Sucks to suck. Like I said, you guys made this problem for yourselves. I have zero compassion for them on that point. Hopefully, maybe they'll split up and things will fall apart. Maybe what'll happen is when Trump decided to go and have a photo shoot at Arlington National Cemetery, which is, by the way, against federal law, and then his staffers not only physically, verbally, but physically assaulted one of the employees at Arlington National Cemetery, which is a federal offense. Maybe that'll get him arrested finally, and he'll have to drop out of the race. I don't know. I think he might actually have to do what he said and pull out a gun and shoot somebody in public and have it on video before anybody does anything to this fat clown. But a guy can dream, right? I don't know. A guy can dream. If we think about dreams, I always have weird dreams. This might also be another Patreon perk, which I do like my own. I call it Link Flores' Dream Theater. I do it on my personal social media pages, just for my friends and family, because I had some of the most bizarre dreams in the world. And last night, I had this peculiar-ass dream where, for some reason, I'm always in, like, a city that I know is my city, but it's not familiar. Like, some of the sights and sounds and whatnot are vaguely familiar, but, like, the streets don't line up. Nothing is the exact one-to-one replication of what it was when I was there. And I was in Chicago, and I think it was, I don't remember exactly how it started, but for some reason, I was with a bunch of gangbanger homies, and I've known a lot of gangbangers in my life, and over the time I lived in Chicago, it's almost impossible to live there long without knowing at least one or two people who are gang affiliated. And this is just a couple of gangbanger dudes. They weren't known to me, but they were like, yeah, man, we need you to get this, we need you to get this weight from this girl. And I'm like, wait, what? They're like, yeah, you're seeing so-and-so. I forget her name. And I'm like, yeah. And in the dream, this was my girlfriend. And they're like, yeah, well, I need you to go in her place. So you got a shorty doing this and that and the other. She's definitely dealing it. She usually keeps it in this kind of place. So I'm listening to this dude make up this, wild logic for where a girl would hide, like, a significant quantity of drugs that she was going to sell. And in the dream, I go into her dorm room because we're in college for some reason. And I go look right where the dude tells me it'll be, and I find it. And it's crazy to me. I'm like, what? Why does she have this shit? And then I realize that, like, I'm in the room. And the roommate comes in and is, like, basically, like, kind of helping cook this shit into another form. It was just weed, But then I noticed they were mixing it with some other stuff. And I'm like, oh, you guys are making drugs. It's one thing if it was just weed. I'd be like, all right, you know, a little weed. I mean, at least it's legal, right? And like, maybe not in Illinois, but it's. I mean, we could get this somewhere where we could sell it. And they're like, oh, no, y'all making some wild shit here. Okay, I got to get out of here. And as I was getting ready to leave, that's when I realized, like, the dude who was telling me to come and get the stuff, I think he figured he's not going to, you know, steal from his girl or whatever, or he'll, like, rat us out. Him and his boys showed up with guns to the college to try to take the shit from us. And then I woke up, and I'm like, you know what? I got to stop eating pasta after 10 o'clock at night. I just thought about that. I'm like, I had some spaghetti, and, you know, it was late because I made it, and it was just a whole mess in the kitchen. It took forever. And then I was also playing some Destiny with my stepdaughter and some friends. So I ran a little long, and I'm like, I'll eat. And then I went, ate. I felt great. Went to sleep. My stomach was fine. But I think when you eat that late, it does something to your brain. And so my brain was like, let's fight with all this stuff in real life too. And I'm like, no. It's like my brain was fighting with the stomach. And so because of that, it was putting this conflict into my dream. And I'm like, there's really no beef here if we just talk this shit out. Then I woke up and I'm like, oh man, don't do that again. It was so weird. Like I said, I have weird dreams like that, and even weirder. So who knows? We'll find out what happens when my brain decides to simmer the fuck down. Let's see. What are some other things that popped up that we wanted to talk about? Oh, I'm saving one of these things for last. But a couple of these things were crazy. Just to remind you guys, if you're living in the state of Florida, you need to keep your eye out for this Great Outdoors Initiative. They arrested the guy who leaked the initial plans for it. His name is James Gaddis. This guy's a hero, by the way. Because the state of Florida was working on these plans to add frisbee golf or ultimate golf, disc golf, whatever you want to call it, pickleball courses and hotels and other things to state parks, like federally protected water, like wetlands and stuff like that, and beachside areas, you know, literally it's just for natural preservation. They're not supposed to be places where they're being developed, but they're like, screw it. Might as well put like a tennis court in here, maybe a golf course on the side, put a hotel down here so people come visit. Like, no. The whole purpose of having these lands protected was to keep people the fuck out of them. So they tried to sneak that one past people. It lit up the internet for a while, especially particularly here in the state of Florida and in Northeast Florida, and, you know, for the most part. And it's currently on hold by the governor's office, but they want to revisit it because Ron DeSantis can't help himself, and he needs a retirement plan for when he ultimately gets torched out of the state. But yeah, so just remember that that's still out there. Keep your eye out listening for the Great Outdoors Initiative. Don't let them try to slide this shit past you, because, you know, they will. Anytime they can take an inch, they'll take a mile. It looks like they want to take more than that. They want to take out federally protected and preservationist areas in the state. And by the way, if you know this guy, James Gaddis, tell him I said I think he's the GOAT, not just a scapegoat. They fired his ass. They fired him because they said he didn't have the authority to let that stuff go. And he said, you know, I knew that I was taking a risk when I brought this stuff to light, but I felt like I had a moral obligation to let the public know, hey, this is what our state, and in particular, the governor's office and the governor probably himself directly, want to do to these preservational areas. You know what I mean? These areas of our environment that we've agreed need to be protected and need to be unspoiled and unsullied by human hands. And they're like, you know what? Slap some branding on them. So congratulations to you, James Gaddis. I hope you land on your feet and hopefully on some of these people's necks, because they're wrong for what they did, because they're trying to cover up the shady shit they were doing. But I appreciate you and I salute you. I wonder who told on him, though. You know what I mean? Who was the person who figured out it was him? Because somebody had to find out, like, where did this come from, right? Or he may have sent it to somebody else and then they snitched on him. See, that's how you know who your real friends are right there. Somebody told on his ass. I'm willing to bet they didn't do that much investigation because they weren't really trying to hide the shit in the first place. especially not if they had it drawn up in the office. You know what I mean? This is some kind of back alley handshake deal. It'd be one thing, but they're like, we planned to do this. We were going to let the people know. And then they try to come out with it like, well, we were going to tell you guys in like a couple of weeks. Oh, you mean like a week or a couple of days before you guys would plan on voting on it? Because that's when the shit came out. It came out like almost a month before they were going to vote on it. They're like, we had planned on releasing this information to the public in about 2 to 3 weeks. So you're going to wait till the very last minute for people to maybe not find out so you could slide this one under the... Nah, you guys are shady for that shit. But, you know, I bet you it was one of his homies that he worked with or something. God, can you imagine if it was like his wife? Maybe it was somebody at work that was jealous of him and like the work he was doing. And they saw him being like Mr., you know, Mr. Goody Two Shoes sort of. Maybe that's how they perceived him. And they're like, man, fuck James. Whoever that guy is, you're a hater. And I hope everything bad happens to you and only you. Now, like I said, you don't know who your real friends are, man. I found that shit out this week. I think I told you guys last week that I was going to be helping my mom move this past weekend. And that's why maybe things would be a little off kilter or whatever. But I did. I helped my mom move this weekend. And my mom's such a soldier that she went and got like this cool wagon to help her when she has to, you know, do grocery shopping. So she doesn't have to carry all the bags back and forth. She could put it in this sturdy little wagon, which is amazing, and just pull it up the sidewalk to her apartment. And I'm super stoked for her to have that because it's a great mobility feature for someone who's, you know, not able to move around as freely as she once used to. But then she took the cart, bless her heart. And since she was only moving next door from one apartment to the other, she was loading stuff into it all weekend long. I had no idea. By the time we got there on Sunday morning, she had moved like half of her like small goods over. You know, she even moved her bed frame. I don't know how she did that shit, but that was perplexing to me. I didn't want her to do any of the heavy lifting, but apparently, you know, the bed frame came apart, but then she also moved the box spring. So that means she had to do a little bit extra work. And I didn't like that, but we went in there and started doing the rest of the other heavy lifting and stuff. And, then I went back, on Monday which was Labor Day, which I did some labor to help her move like her, potted plants and stuff that were outside that were too heavy for her to pick up. Or just in some dusty, crusty areas because they don't do good landscaping at her complex. And so I moved that and I was raking out all the years worth of dead leaves and sticks and whatnot and garbage that the people had just thrown outside because they don't give a shit because they know the apartment people don't give a shit about maintaining stuff. So I raked out the beds in front of her apartment, cleared them out so she could put her plants down on more even ground, dug out one of the rain gutters. It's like a little culvert. It's like a downspout, right? So the downspout comes down from the roof and then there's like a culvert kind of thing. There's a conduit that they have half buried and then half left exposed to let water flow down and out into the property. So it doesn't flood and pool in one spot. Well, the dumb thing about it is they should have probably picked something concrete. Or at least if they weren't going to make an underground concrete, you know, kind of drain or something like that, run it to like a sewer line, they could have at least run like a concrete culvert and then let it drain out to a common area somehow. But what they did was they put cheap plastic stuff in there and they have these horrible, I don't know what kind of vines or whatever they are, but they grow right at the roots grow right at the surface. They're thick as shit. And it has managed to crawl its way up these drain pipes and into the actual downspout itself. And because it's grown in there, it's punched holes just by the strength of its roots. It's punched holes through the culvert. So it's just also managed to let more sand and soil and everything into the pipe. So it's effectively useless. It's just it will just back up with any heavy rain, which is what's happening today, which is concerning for me. That my mom's going to come home to her apartment, which was, by the way, supposedly renovated, but was horribly not done at all. They did such a trash ass job. It would have been better if they just left it alone because the half ass job that they did was made it glaringly obvious that they didn't give a shit about doing anything substantial or worthwhile. They just wanted to be able to charge more money for the apartment, which is some bullshit. And they should be ashamed of themselves for what they're doing. And once I get some some permission and a little bit more stuff regarding what's, I'll put them on blast too. I want to make sure I get my ducks in a row first, but they know who they are. They can kiss my ass. And I will say that the Jacksonville Housing Authority is supposed to be over them, and they're doing a trash ass job of managing it themselves. They should have just left it alone. I mean, how much worse could they have fucked it up by leaving it in the hands of the original management company? But yet again, I digress. So yeah, but even anyway, I created an event to invite like friends and family to come and help, you know, just to lighten the load. As the saying goes, many hands make light work, right? So I figured if we had a couple extra hands around, then when it came time to move the heavier stuff, like her couch and her mattress and, you know, her table and furniture and stuff like that, no one person's going to be beat the fuck up at the end of the day. And as it turns out, it was just me, my wife, and one of her friends that came, and nobody else showed. A couple people had some reasonable excuses for not showing, like, you know, I'm out of town, or I have to work that day because it's Labor Day weekend, I can't get it off, blah, blah, blah. I'd set this event out like a couple weeks in advance, like almost 3 weeks in advance, to try to cull as many of those excuses as possible. But yet and still, I just knew there were people who were just not going to make it a priority. And the unfortunate thing was most of those people were supposedly friends of mine. And either the ones I invited, I was like, I'm doing this in the hopes that you'll come, but I know something will probably come up, or you'll create something so you don't have to be bothered. Or I know you're not going to show up, I'm not going to invite you anyway. And then I mentioned it to a couple people and they were like, oh yeah, you know, good luck with that and blah, blah, blah. But I'm like, you know, I'm not asking for luck, motherfucker. I need help. That's why I'm asking you, would you help me? And they're like, I'm like, yeah, if you're all shoulders about it and all you want to party bullshit over the weekend, I understand. But it's no problem when you want to party and bullshit at my place, right? You know what I mean? When you want me to come and do some, you know, act of fool shit, then it's, oh yeah, man, you're cool. We're down, we're friends, right? Let's hang out. Oh yeah, we're going to do a party. Can we have a party at your place? Now it's all good, right? Now it's all gravy. We can just hang out and fuck up your place and then leave. Like, it's cool. But when I need some help, I need y'all to be the friends you say you're going to be. Dust in the wind. So I'm like, man, look, most of y'all kiss my ass. And the funny thing about it is I wasn't really too surprised, because I know that if it requires the very bare minimum of effort, which is like I've asked them to just turn on the podcast and leave it running in the background, most of them won't even do that. You know how I know? Because I can see how many people listen to the podcast. I get the analytics every week. So I know not who is and who isn't listening, but by the sheer numbers, I know it's not all of y'all. Because there's enough of y'all that these numbers should be at least 3 times as high, but they're not. So yeah, it was a humbling and eye-opening experience at the same time. And then the only one person who was like actually saying that they were going to respond and didn't show messaged me and was like, hey man, I'm sorry I missed it, blah, 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 I didn't get notification. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not really mad at you. I'm just disappointed, because this was 3 weeks out. You knew the date, you knew the time, you knew the location and everything like that. And you could have made a calendar event out of this shit like I did, even though I was running the shit. You could have made it a priority for you to be like, hey, I'm going to be here, but you didn't do that. So while I'm not mad at you, I am disappointed and it upsets me. But at the same time, I'm going to let this one ride, because, you know, I know you don't fuck with social media like that. But at the same time, you know, you make time for the things that are important to you. You make time for the people that are important to you. Find a way to make that work, and you find a way to show them that you care. So what this is really letting me know is that it's kind of like you only want to be around when there's something to be gained, when there's something for you to, you know, to take. When it's time for you to give back, just all just like a fart in a breeze, just nowhere to be found. And it's sad in a way, but at the same time, it's also like a relief, because like I'm starting to really see more and more over the last few years, like who my true friends are. And it's like, I'm just not for that bullshit. I'm not for you just to sit here and lie to me or gas me up in my face. But I will say that, you know, working in my mom's yard and helping her move her stuff, while I got like the aches and pains and stuff from doing it, I felt so much better after just one day of rest and water and stretching like today, almost all that's gone. Like there's a little bit of a pinch in my back and in my hamstrings. That's about it. But it also kind of rejuvenated my sense of purpose, my sense of, you know, agency, feeling like I can do things. And I think it's been a thing that's hit me over the last year, like last couple of months especially, is not feeling like I had any purpose. And I think part of it was, again, I did the thing that you're not supposed to do if you're a content creator or a creative individual. I hate content creator as a term. But if you're like a podcaster or a streamer or something like that, or even if you're like an artist and you're trying to build something through social media, one of the worst things you can do, particularly if you run the shit yourself, is look at the numbers. Looking at the analytics will drive you fucking crazy. And I was doing that, and I was doing so to my own peril because I feel like nobody cares. Nobody's listening. There's no new viewership or listenership or whatever for my Twitch channel or my podcast. And I was getting really discouraged, and I was starting to feel like maybe I should just put it as a wrap. And then I'm like, no, just by doing those tasks for my mom. And it wasn't like I was, you know, it wasn't like I had to move a 3-story house. It was a 1-bedroom apartment, you know. But just by putting in a little bit of sweat equity in there, it gave me a sense of purpose and kind of rejuvenated me to do some other things for myself as well. It's like, if you can help other people, you can help you. You know what I mean? You are here in front of yourself every day. Your mom is a 45-minute drive to get to. And you made time for that. So you can make time for yourself. You can make time to do the things that are important to you. And I felt really just, I felt like electrifying when I noticed that. I was like, yeah, that's actually good. So like I said, I ordered my business cards. I plotted some podcast stuff out that I want to get done. I found like some ideas on how I can do it and how I can make it work. Contacted a couple people about potentially being guests on the podcast, which I'm really excited for. And yeah, we're just hopping and popping. I woke up today at like 5:50 in the morning, and I got up, you know, I didn't read the paper, but I was reading the news online, and then got right into this. You know, here we are, it's coming up on 9:45. This should be ready to go before noon. I'm feeling good. So yeah. If you feel like you're kind of stuck, and I've said this to people before, but I didn't take it to quite the level or extreme that I needed to do it for myself, right? If you're feeling kind of stuck, you're feeling depressed, you're feeling disenchanted, maybe you're feeling a little bit lost or confused, right? Find a small project that you can do and do that thing. And when I say project, it doesn't necessarily have to be like, you know, pulling up shrubs that are kind of overgrown or whatever, doing like painting the eaves of your house or something. It could be as small as, you know what I did today? I reorganized my pots and pans and stuff like that. Or I you know, shifted around some stuff in my closet and took out some shirts and pants and skirts and dresses or shoes or whatnot that I don't wear and decided to donate them. You know, unclutter your life. Find something you can accomplish that you can look at and go, that is a quantifiable thing that I did. Find that old, you know, tchotchke basket or whatever. Like, I have this stuff on a shelf and I never look at it and never use it. It's just taking up space, collecting dust. Empty that shit out. Dust it off. Clean it up. Make it look nice. Throw away some of the old stuff or the broken stuff. Maybe put up some of the new stuff that you've had hidden away in a box for forever and you never knew we're going to find a place to put it. Hey, this old stuff can go. So I got some new stuff here. You know, do a little redecorating. Find a project that you can complete and feel good about. That's actually helped me a lot just this last weekend. And I just feel a little bit more, a lot more alert and rejuvenated. And like, I feel like a sense of purpose has been reignited, which is really fun. You know, if you're a creative person especially, it's so easy. It's incredibly easy to get inside your own head and live there. But you got to shake that off because there's people out there who are counting on you. Even if it is just one person, your work could save one person. And it could pull somebody back from the ledge, figuratively and literally. So don't give up, and especially don't give up on yourself. You know what I mean? You need to be around to create the things that only you can do. because only you can do those things the way that you can do them. And that's the purpose for you being here. So a little bit of encouragement to all of you. Yeah, let's do some other stuff. And I got a couple little points I want to hit before we close it up for this week. We're going to talk about some gaming stuff. I'm still waiting, and I know I'm going to be waiting for a while. Genshin Impact doesn't come out until November. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the Fragpunk closed beta is not coming out till about that time, like late October, early November. And so I haven't really dug around in anything else. But if you want to check me out over at Twitch, where I'm doing game streaming and stuff, this weekend I might stream a little bit of the open beta for Call of Duty Black Ops 6. One of my buddies has been playing it for a while now. I guess he decided to pre-order it, which is wild to me. But he decided to pre-order it and was checking out their new Omni movement system, which allows you to slide and roll and turn in real time like an operator would if they were actually in a theater of war. That includes being able to slide forward with your feet out in front of you, being able to roll over from your back to a prone position, being able to roll from prone to kneeling, and you know, being able to dive and everything like that. So this omnidirectional movement that they're working with sounds interesting. I haven't played a Black Ops game in a very, very, very long time, and I would be curious to play the beta, but I am not about to pre-order this shit because the messaging behind it is so muddied. I wonder if they're trying to get people to pay for the game before they fully realize what platforms it's actually available on. So, to the best of my knowledge, and I'm playing from Xbox, so I can only speak to that particular platform 100%, the Call of Duty Black Ops 6 open beta starts this weekend. That's going to start off on Friday the 6th. So if you're curious about it, you want to make sure that you go and check your homepage and look for it. That'll be Friday, September 6th is when it starts, and it runs through the weekend until the 9th. And it's free $3.99 to play the open beta. They do have a pre-order option available, but you don't need to bother exercising it unless you really want to be a tryhard and play the beta before the weekend comes. But there's a $100 Vault Edition version of the game, which, why would you? If I'm paying $100 for a game, I'm getting a physical copy. There better be some cool shit in the box. At the very bare minimum, I need a steel case with a booklet and some stickers or something. You know what I mean? So anyway, $100 for the Vault Edition of Black Ops 6. Or, here's the fun part, you can wait because it's going to be launched day one on Game Pass. So if you really absolutely positively have to just play it, you could put down some pre-order money and then maybe cancel it, I guess, like a schlub. Or you could not incentivize people putting out half-baked, half-cooked stuff and hoping that your money equals guaranteed sales, and make them work for it. Get it on Game Pass. And also, keep your eyes out because there's going to be some changes coming to Game Pass soon. Some of the stuff I could talk about, some of it I can't. But I just want you to be aware. There are going to be some changes, and you're going to want to be paying attention. So keep your eyes on your inboxes for the future. Let's go to one more thing before we go to our last topic for the day, which is a banger. Trust me, number one with a bullet. You're going to love this. I noticed this thing too when we were talking about like these weird trends that I see in people and that I see particularly on social media. One of the bigger trends that I've noticed has been this whole, I mean, you've seen it for probably since the beginning of social media, but the idea of vague booking, where people just kind of hint at the fact that they're going to do something, maybe sort of, kind of, I don't know, but and it's really just a ploy for attention. Now, the way you see it phrased in multiple ways, like somebody like, not going to say anything, but I could really use some prayer. I don't want to get too into details, but could use your good vibes for an upcoming decision. And then you know, everybody gets like all excited and pumped up, or they get nervous or worried or whatever, and they react to that. And then the person's like, well, I was going to decide to cut off like 3 inches of my hair, but I think I'm just going to wait. Like, bitch, you made us all worry for you for nothing? Hey, I can't believe you put that shit on the Facebook. You should be slapped for that shit. It's like, I hate that kind of shit, because it generates this inflated sense of worry. And what it is you just trying to get an ego stroke in to see how many people love you and care about you and stuff like that. Instead of being like, hey, man, I'm going through some real shit right now, and I would like for you to talk to me. Instead, you kind of like allude to it, like, I don't know, I'm just kind of feeling some kind of way lately. Meh. And it's slimy, right? So the one that I saw recently, I've seen this a couple times too. It's like, I've been having a really tough week, so I'm going to put my phone on silent. So I would appreciate it if you would respect my space and my privacy and not call or text me over the next day or so while I take my time for my peace. It's like, just turn your fucking phone off. No one cares. Not that no one cares about you, but no one cares that you turned off your phone. Now, if you're one of those people who could turn your phone off and just forget where the fuck it is for like 2 days in a row, God bless you. Good luck. Because if something happens to you, ain't nobody gonna know. Or if something happens to somebody that you know, you ain't gonna find out because you decided you just needed some time away for your peace. That's bullshit. If you put your phone on silent, turn the vibration function off, call it a day. Put it someplace where you can see it if you need it, you know, like on the living room table, you know, or something like that on your nightstand in front of your bathroom mirror, and then just leave it alone. But don't front like, you know, you're doing this so you can shut out the outside world. You're doing it so people will pay attention to you and ask you what's going on despite your best wishes. Please respect my time and peace. No. No. You're waving a big flag for everyone to look at so they can come over and be like, hey, what's the matter? Are you fine? Oh my God, I'm so worried about you. No, no, no. Just say what you mean and mean what you say. Don't try to dance around the shit. And don't try to gaslight us into feeling sorry for you when what you really want is some companionship, some company, and some understanding. Just say that. Be more than happy to provide that if that's what you want, if you're willing to own up to it and say that's what you want. Don't try to trick me into this shit, though, because then after that, bet money I don't care. Bet money I don't care then. They're like, oh, did you hear about, you know, Jane? So, and oh, what happened with Jane? Yeah, she put her phone on silent because she wanted people to respect her peace, and then she slipped in the tub and died. Sorry, sucks to be Jane. I don't know what that got to do with me, though. Because if Jane had said, like, hey, I'm having a really rough time and I just need some space, I could have been like, hey, Jane, I'm not going to bug you, but I just want to know if you need anything. Are you cool? You going to be good? Because I don't have to bother you, but I at least need to know you're all right. Instead of being like, I just need my peace. Just say, hey, man, I'm struggling right now. I don't know what to do. And even if you do want the peace, just say, I don't know what to do. So if you call me or message me and I don't get to you, just know that I'm going through it right now. But don't do this. I'm putting my phone on silent because I don't want to be bothered. That's exactly what you want. You want to be bothered. You don't want to come out. You don't have the courage to come out and say it, but you want to be bothered. You want somebody to give a shit about you, which is fine. It's fair. It's totally reasonable and rational. What's not is trying to front like you don't. And then what would happen is if nobody called you over the course of the weekend, you'd be like, well, I see what kind of friends you are. Man, fuck you. Seriously, fuck you flying backwards. Just say what you mean and mean what you say. The people who care about you are going to be there. You don't have to dance around and do this whole big act for attention. It looks exhausting. You're talking about you're already exhausted and tired and you're mentally at your wit's end. Then why are you doing extra performative shit right now? Take the bullshit out of it, be honest about your feelings and your needs, and let's work from there. Let's work from a place of honesty, because right now you're being duplicitous. I don't really care for your attempts to manipulate my emotions to care about you. You know what I mean? It sounds fraudulent, and I don't fuck with that. You know what else I don't fuck with? because they're also fraudulent. Lara Trump. Oh boy. I told y'all to stick around. I meant that shit. So some of you might remember hearing Lara Trump strangling the cat a couple times over the last few months. Because this dimwit apparently wants to be a singer. And she's tried to go back to it again. She had a song. Oh, man. It's tiresome to even talk about her. Ugh, God, what a waste. Oh, I'm sorry. I had to go back and look at it. Because she did this song a while back. There's a couple of them she's put out. Some ear murder is basically what I'm going to call it. The most recent one, well, one of the more recent ones was called Colors Don't Run. It was a collaboration with the band that I swear to God, this is what they call themselves, the Moonshine Bandits. And boy, of all the sitting in my truck, wearing my sunglasses on the back of my neck, trucker hat wearing, just, oh my God, these dudes look like, it looks like Republican Mr. Potato Head. That's the best way I could put it. You know what I mean? Like ultra MAGA dickhead Mr. Potato Head. And there's, if you dare to look this up and listen to it, I feel bad for you. There's plenty of other great music out there to listen to, but you may want to listen to it just for the hilarity because it's so, she's terrible as a singer. She has to be basically auto-tuned up to almost sound like what AI sounds like when you try to make it sing. They're trash just in general. Like, you could tell it's a mix of, like, hip hop by guys like Big, there's a Big Smo, I think is what he is called, goes by. There's a couple other, you know, hip hop rappers out there that are actually pretty good. Colt Ford's another good version of rap music you want to listen to. He's got a song called Wasting Time with Nappy Roots. It's a great song. Moonshine Bandits sound like they wanted to be them, and they also wanted to be Kid Rock, but they also thought that maybe they were also Smash Mouth at the same time, and none of it works. So anyway, Lara Trump has a song with them called Colors Don't Run. It's horrible, it's weird, and it's just really badly written. She recently made another song called Hero, and she has a young lady named Madeline James, who actually does have a decent voice and apparently plays piano over as an accompaniment to this song. I'm using song in the loosest definition because this isn't really music. I mean, it barely even qualifies as sound just by virtue of the fact that Lara Trump is caterwauling over this poor young girl's arrangement and her vocals. Because if you took Lara Trump out of this, this might be a fairly decent indie song. Like, you're not going to bang this in your ride or anything like that. But if you're having, like, a rainy day and you're writing poetry, this might come on and you wouldn't change it immediately. Let's put it that way. But when Lara Trump starts to howling, boy, you know about it. Because it's a flat, almost monotone, la, 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 kind of droning sound. All right, you know what? There's no way to get around this. You're going to have to fucking hear some of this, unfortunately. So the young lady who's singing here is actually fairly decent. You might not hear much of it, but she's actually pretty okay. Yeah, it's just, it's wild. No, you won't hear it because I was trying to play it and it was just like, it's not letting me run it. But, oh my God, when Lara Trump starts singing, it's ear-splittingly bad. Because again, like I said, it's very flat and they've had to auto-tune her voice so much that you can kind of like, and I heard Jesse Dollimore, who I've mentioned before on this podcast and who also does a great YouTube show, particularly about politics and stuff like that, but he's also just a funny dude. And he has another podcast called the I Doubt It podcast with him and another lady that they work with together. He mentioned it and he's like, you hear this robotic, mechanical sounding artifact in the audio that your ear doesn't directly recognize as being a human voice, But because it's been so overprocessed and, you know, as a facsimile of something that her voice could possibly do, it just, it kind of sounds like when you were a kid and used to sing into a fan or talk into a fan. It has that similar kind of quality. It's toneless, it's soulless. And ultimately, you can't really tell why, but you, it's not just because the writing is kind of lame and the notes are very flat and overly processed. It just, it feels like it's just a, there's no heart to it. That's the best way to put it. And so I listened to this song and man, did I regret it. But the best part about something like this is because it's the internet, is the comment section, which is a, which is where I feel bad to only a small degree. If you ask me to rate this song out of 10, I would say it gets like a 2 out of 10, and it would have probably gotten a 4, except for the fact that Madeline James co-opted to be on this song. Like, she chose to be on this song. If she had just written this song and walked away from it, it probably could have gotten like a 4, just because her writing probably would have been worth a damn. But her piano arrangement saves it from being a complete waste. But the reason she loses points is because she decided to be on this track in the first place. And then she didn't take the lead. Like, she didn't have Lara feature in with her. She actually wrote this song for Lara to kind of be the showpiece. And it's or she agreed to be on this song to be the to let Lara be the showpiece. And it does not work at all. So, Madeline James, you probably could have a good, at least a marginally decent career if you stop aligning yourself with rich elitist dickheads like Lara Trump. And I know you probably did it for the Benjamins, which, I mean, I can only be kind of mad at you for trying to get that bag. I feel you. You know what I mean? Times is tough out here in these streets trying to make music because it's a passion of yours. You feel like you got some talent and whatnot. But don't compromise all of your morals for, you know, a stack of cash. Don't sell your birthright for a pot of soup kind of thing. You know what I mean? Because when you do, you get shit like this. Now, I'm going to say this when you read this. The one that I saw was from a company called Blux. B-L-U-X. And I have no idea what the fuck they're about. But I think they might be like a music production company. Yeah, here he goes. Elevate with Bluxperience. Dynamic YouTube channel dedicated to providing high quality content, music, live performances, film, entertainment, showbiz, and more. I'm not sure what they're trying to do here, but sounds like it might be a MAGAverse kind of thing. Yeah. Yeah, it's I think it's leaning more into the MAGAverse. One of their songs is called Fuck Kamala Harris. One of the videos is the Biden Poops song. Yeah, it seems like it's a lot of like, just, it's vile. Don't bother. I've done the work, so you don't have to. Just avoid them at all costs. But if you must hear this song, it's on their fucking YouTube channel. It's called Hope. Hero. And just be aware that it's going to be terrible. But the comments are fucking gold. So if you don't want to give her any airtime, put it on mute, pause the video, and just scroll the comments. I dropped one there myself. But here, I'm going to give you some of my favorites because this is the way I want to close the show out. This is one of the things that gives me joy. I want to be honest with you and say, like, part of it is because I like watching somebody get taken down when they're obviously a piece of shit and they're trying to abuse their position and their, you know, their wealth and whatnot, and their notoriety, to spread a message of ugliness and of hate and division, right? But I also really find it as an inspirational kind of thing to say, like, you're not going to get away with this shit clean. People are going to let you know about yourself if you're going to be foul. And I love this about the internet. So let's read a couple of the comments. I'm not going to read these people's names. I'm sure if you go to the video, you'll see them. There's like a few that I found that were bangers, and a couple of them that I was like, ooh, that's a lot. One of them said, Rebecca Black sends her condolences. Rebecca Black's the chicken wrote that. It's Friday, Friday, gonna get ugh. She wrote that. So yeah, Rebecca Black sends her condolences, probably as a way of saying, like, one, this isn't as bad. This is worse than Rebecca Black's song, but two, also the fact that she got famous for making that garbage-ass song, she kind of opened the door for this. Somebody said, Lara Trump says she's going to release more music in the future. Is that a threat? I was like, damn, dog. One of my other favorites was, every note is a violation of the Geneva Convention. Oh, that one, I've seen that in a couple other news outlets, and that made me laugh really well, really, really hard the first time I saw it. Another one was, let's see, we got this one, let's see, scroll. Anytime I think I'm useless, I'll turn this video on. Another one's, not even a firefighter could save this, because the song Heroes supposed to be written in support of firemen, police, first responders kind of people, right? Another one was like, just ha ha ha. Over and over again, 100 times. I was trying to count, but it was at least like 70 different times. Somebody just like, ha 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 ha, like the whole way down. Another one said, MAGA stands for Make Auto-Tune Great Again. If conservatives are so anti-abortion, then explain this. It's like, ooh, that one hurt. That one hurt a lot. And then like two of the last bangers, I was like, these are just mean as shit. Somebody said, okay, wow, I apologize for having ears, my bad. The damn. But the last one, the one hitter quitter for me was, this is the worst thing to happen to firefighters since 9/11. Oh, that's so cold hearted. That's so cold. And I didn't want to laugh, but I'm like, that is genuinely a good joke. And it's like, it's there's zero fat on that one, as Bill Burr would say, zero fat on that joke. It was just brilliantly crafted and an absolute jab at the content that was being created, the reason why it was being created, and the creator themselves, and takes nothing away from the firefighters and the other first responders, police officers, EMTs, security guards and other personnel who lost their lives in 9/11, and especially not the victims. But man, what a perfect 1-2 combo right there with that one. The worst thing that happened to firefighters since 9/11. Damn. It's Lara Trump, which is, that's the way to end this video. That's it. That's all there is to say. Yeah. Let me know what you think. Hit me over at patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. Sign up for free to follow. Support the podcast for $3 a month there if you'd like. And I'd love to hear your comments, questions. Want some advice? Let me know. Want to hear your stuff read on the podcast for the Patreon exclusive episodes? I'd be more than happy to hear that too. So hit me up over there. Catch me on Twitch a little later on today at twitch.tv/linkib. That's LINKIBE, where you can find out more about me. And also watch me do some gaming stuff, because I'll be chatting and playing some video games there today. I'm not sure what I'm going to do, but it'll definitely be something. So hopefully I'll see you guys there. And then don't forget to share the podcast. Thank you for all the likes and follows and all that jazz, for sharing it with your friends and family members, for listening to it. And everything that you've decided to do is just absolutely wonderful. So continue to do that. Let me know if you found like something that might be helpful for me. I'd be glad to hear that too. Again, patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. I'm going to get out of here. It's been a hoot. Yeah, you guys be good. Remember, wash your ass, wear deodorant, drink water, wear sunscreen. And I'll catch you guys a little further on down the road. Peace.